We're doing Netivot Shalom and Parshat Tetzaveh. Our topic is Shemen Zaitzach Katit La'amaor, pure oil for the lamp. The Netivot Shalom, the Rebbe of Slonim begins. The Medrash says, Vata Tetzaveh, you will command Hadau Dichtiv, that's what the verse in Jeremiah says, Zait Ranan Yefei Pri Tor Kara Hashem Shemecha. Hashem called your name a lush olive tree that has beautiful fruit. The Medrash says, "V'chiloni kreu Yisrael el abazayt azeh bilvad." The Jewish people were only named after this olive tree. "V'alo bechol minei lanot na'im umshubachim nikreu Yisrael." Israel was named after. We were given the nickname of all the beautiful, exalted trees. We are sometimes called the Geffen. The people of Israel are sometimes called the grapevine. Sometimes we are called the Teina, the fig tree, etc. Ela, what does the verse mean when it compares the Jewish people to the olive tree? Ma'azayit hazeh ad shehu be'ilano megargerin oto, v'achakach moridin oto min hazayit v'nechvat. When you have an olive, so initially you can shake the olive when it's still on the branch and get some oil out of it. And then you take it off the tree and you beat the olive and get oil. And after you've beaten the olive and taken out its oil, then you take it into the press, and you press out the oil. And after you finish pressing the oil, you take the olive and you grind it and you get out more oil. And then after you've grinded it and you've taken as much oil as you thought you can get out of it, you bring heavy rocks and you put them on the pressed olives and you get more oil out of it. That's how you take oil. I'm saying the oil manufacturing process. You have step one, you have step two, so you have step three, and you keep getting more oil out of that olive. So do the people of Israel come among the nations, and they beat them here and they beat them there, and they bind them here and they bind them there, and they put them through all kinds of pressures. And then the Jewish people do tshuva, and suddenly, wow, they give off light. That's the Medrash. The Medrash says that's why the people of Israel are compared to the olive. Because the olive gets beaten in every direction in order to get it to give off its oil. So too, the people of Israel require a huge processing before they're willing to do tshuva and give off their light. So why are we named after the olive? Because the olive is the fruit that, aside from what you see growing on the tree, there is another potential to that fruit. Aside from eating that olive, there's potential that you have to put in a lot of work to get that potential, to get the oil out of the olive. So the olive has potential to give light. When you see an olive, you don't see that potential. You don't see the potential to develop a flame. That's the idea that the olive has. A grape, well, you could get wine out of it, but it's still, instead of eating, you drink it. An olive, you could get out oil that you put in a lamp and you develop light. So every other fruit, what you get out of the fruit is edible or consumable. What you get out of the olive is a totally different product, the ability to give light. And that's why Israel is compared to the olive. Because every Jew has concealed within him a great light. We have within us what's called chelek eloka mimal, a godly portion that's within us. But it's a hidden portion. You look at the person and what you see is an olive. You see a fruit. You see someone like just like everyone else. You see physical. You see eyes like everyone else. You see a nose like everyone else. And you don't see that there's something else inside him. And then when the physical part of a person, so to speak, is cracked, when a person has his physical life has challenges, and suddenly you start seeing that he's built of something else. There's a light within him that you couldn't see beforehand. There's a godliness about him that you didn't see beforehand. And that's why the verse compares him to a beautiful olive, specifically the olive, that within it is a hidden force. Within it is the hidden light. And it's only by beating the olive that you get out the oil, the potential for light. And that's the way Israel is. We have this hidden force, this hidden ability to give light, but you have to overcome the physical part of life to be able to give the spiritual light. Our sages say, Tova mildut achat belibo shel adam yoder mimea malkuyot. It's better when a person thinks for himself, I feel bad that I did that. That is more effective than hitting him 100 times. You hit him 100 times, and then he's still going to go back to doing his old ways. But when he starts thinking, gee, I shouldn't have done that, so then you have real accomplishment. When we say that a Jew has to be beaten, so to speak, in order for the oil to come out of him, it doesn't have to be that he's getting beaten physically. It doesn't have to be that, oh no, he's going to suffer. What's separating a Jew from his Creator is the physical, the mundane, the hedonistic tendencies within man. And so a person doesn't see. A person spends his life very, very narrow. When a person is thinking about the iPhone or other physical desires he can have, his line of vision narrows. He doesn't see to the right or to the left. All he knows is what he's thinking about now. And when a person starts thinking, hey, I regret this way of life, I want something else, so then the light starts being revealed from within him. It doesn't have to be. That's what the Talmud says. A feeling of remorse within a person is worth more than beating him 100 times. The force of the hidden light within a person comes from the hidden light that was around in the beginning of creation. We know when Hashem created the world, Hashem initially created a light, and then Hashem said, the whole world can't handle this light, I'm going to hide this light. Hashem says, Yehi or, let there be light, Vayhi or. And then there was a tremendous light, and then Hashem hid that light. Our sages say, Hashem looked at the generations that were to come, that would destroy the world, the men of the flood, the men of the Tower of Babel, and Hashem says, I'm not making this light available to everyone, I'm hiding the light. It's not a physical light. We're not talking about the sunlight. We're talking about a spiritual light. And that's the light that gets revealed when the world is fixed. When the world starts seeing that Hashem is running this place. And that's what the verse says in Isaiah. That we will no longer need the sunlight by day. It'll be Hashem's light. And that is what the light of the menorah, the lamp in the temple, was conveying. The menorah gave godly light in the hearts of people. And every Jew would get would be impacted by the light of the menorah. The point of the menorah was not to give God light. God doesn't need us to light a lamp for him. He gives us the sunlight every day. He needs us to light a lamp. When the Kohen Gadol lit the lamp, so the light of the lamp affected every person. And that's why it needed pure olive oil. The pure olive oil alludes to the idea of what's hidden in the olive. And that's the idea of the menorah giving off that light. And we find in the Medrash that when the light was hidden, it was hidden for those who work hard on the oral law. You guys are working hard on Gemara, right? So you should know that the hidden light is there for those who work hard on the oral law, those who dedicate their lives, those who overcome sleep, those who overcome the simple pleasures of life. And that's why they merit to have that light revealed to them. And that's why the verse says, those that go in darkness will see a great light. Who's going in darkness? That's people who say, I'm not looking for all the amenities of the physical world. I'm going to try to grow. And that's why they get that inner light that's revealed. And that's why it says, Torah breaks man's strength. What does that mean? It means Reish Lakish says, I'm going to learn Torah, and suddenly he can't leap over the Jordan. Before he agreed to learn Torah, he could leap. But Torah helps a person see that the physical isn't the only force that's relevant here. So when a person sees that, suddenly he's not as dedicated. He's not as excited over the physical. In order to leap over the Jordan, it has to mean a lot to you. When Reish Lakish is interested in, according to one opinion, raping, but the way we understand the Talmud, he was interested in stealing from Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish is ready to leap over the Jordan because all his might is invested in his physical desire. He wants to steal from Rabbi Yochanan. When Rabbi Yochanan tells him, you want to learn Torah? You want to come back to a different life? You want to come back to the value systems that once meant something to you? And Reish Lakish thinks about it and says, yeah, I do. Well, at that moment, he wants to leap back across the Jordan, and he starts running, and he says, I can't do it, and he stops. You just leap this way. Why can't you leap back? Because once I've come to that clarity that what's important to me in life is not stealing from Rav Yochanan, so then I can't run and jump across the Jordan anymore. I can't put all my strength into it. There are other things that are important to me. This is less important to me. When our sages say Torah weakens man's strength, it means you're not going to be able to be as excited over stealing from Rav Yochanan as you were beforehand. And that's what happens on Shabbos. It says Hashem blessed the Shabbos and gave it holiness. The Midrash says Hashem blessed the Shabbos that you have a special light on Shabbos. A person is supposed to radiate a different light on Shabbos. When a person speaks to you during the week, so then he has the troubles of his week. But when he walks into Shabbos and he's on a different planet, he's in a different zone, so then he's supposed to radiate something else on Shabbos. Every one of us can do that. We have to tap into it. I just want to address for a second, sometimes a person thinks, I had this, I told you guys, the last two Shabbatot, I was on the phone on Shabbos, right? This past Shabbos, not. But 2 weeks ago and 3 weeks ago, I had to be on the phone because there were medical emergencies. So I was on the phone on Shabbos. And I don't know, you probably have a better way to deal with this than I do, but it took me a lot of time to work on myself and tell myself I'm not desecrating Shabbos. What I'm doing now is the mitzvah of Shabbos. It's my mitzvah now. Initially, I stood there in the room after talking on the phone, and this happens to me every time there's a medical emergency that I have to do things on Shabbos. It's not the first time in my life. Every time I have to work on myself to get back into my Shabbos mode. Because it's hard. To me, it's hard. I don't know. Maybe for you, you've overcome it. But a person has to remind themselves, hey, what I just did is Shabbos. I didn't desecrate Shabbos. My scenarios were a little more difficult because there was always that element of doubt. And I had to keep reminding myself that when in doubt, you still have a mitzvah to deal on Shabbos. At the end of the day, a person can tap into this. A person can connect to Shabbos and then he radiates that light. On Shabbos, the physical becomes spiritual. Whereas the rest of the week, you have a challenge. Am I focused on the physical? Am I so excited over the cream cheese or the challah or the meat or the chicken or the soup? On Shabbos, you're supposed to be excited. That's Shabbos. You're honoring Shabbos. Suddenly there's peace within. Suddenly I have no problem radiating on Shabbos because I'm supposed to be at a place of peace. And so that hidden light gets revealed within a person. And that Shabbos helps a person overcome his materialistic desires. Whereas a person the rest of the week is running after the material world, on Shabbos he's not. The Baal Shem Tov said, our sages say, if a person passes away on Friday, on Erev Shabbos, that's a good sign. So the Baal Shem Tov said, what did Chazal come to tell us? We don't choose what day we're going to die. So the Talmud says, if you die on a Friday, it's a good sign. What were they telling us? So the Baal Shem Tov explained that when a person dies on Erev Shabbos, it means if a person wants to enter the holiness of Shabbos, so then he has to be able to, so to speak, die on Friday. He has to be able to make everything dead. He's not busy with what happened Friday when Shabbos comes in. I'll give you the biggest example of this. In every home, Friday afternoon is a time filled with pressure. I always tell the balabatim, the people who are married, I tell them, you come to shul, you have to let go of what happened 5 minutes ago. 5 minutes ago, your wife was yelling at you, get the stuff on the pot, I can't believe you didn't do that, I counted on you for this, I counted on you. You leave the house every Friday out of pressure, right? Yes, this kid to get ready and he didn't, yes, that kid to prepare that and they didn't, and suddenly there's pressure, always last minute pressure. But Shabbos just came in. When I was a kid, so I was a busybody. I was always busy doing a million things. I could never sit down and eat a meal straight. So my grandmother once told me that my great-grandfather was also like that. When he would sit down to eat, he was always busy with other things. And so my great-grandmother developed the following saying. If people would knock on the door and they'd want to talk to my great-grandfather, she would tell them, I'm sorry, he's dead. And they'd say, he's dead, when was the funeral? she'd say, I'll talk to you in a few minutes. Right now he's dead. In a few minutes you'll be able to talk to him. And people learned that she told him, when you sit down to eat, either you're dead or the world's dead, but no one's talking to you, no one's bothering you, you're having a quiet meal. And so people learned what she meant when she'd say he's dead. So she taught me this concept that sometimes you have to sit down and everything else has to be dead. The Baal Shem Tov said that about Shabbos. You want to enter Shabbos, then Friday has to be dead. You have to walk into Shabbos and you're on a different planet. I'm not here. People have a hard time going on vacation. People say, I was working, my troubles were with me. I went on vacation, my troubles came with me. Wait, no. Shabbos gives you an opportunity to go on vacation and you leave your troubles behind. A person has to connect to the spiritual aspect of Shabbos, and then they can connect to the Shabbos. On Shabbos, Hashem wants that hidden light to be revealed. And as we said, what gets in our way? The physical world gets in our way. And a person on Friday, so to speak, has to end his physical worry so that he enters Shabbos and he's entering a different zone. And that's how we could understand that our sages say, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, I have a special gift to give the Jewish people. I have a special gift in my hidden storage houses. It's called Shabbos. What does that mean, my hidden storage houses? That's a reference to the hidden light. Hashem says, what's the special gift? That on Shabbos, there's a special light that enters the home. There's a special light that enters the person. When a Jew wants to enter Shabbos, and his heart is broken, because he knows he's not where he should be entering Shabbos. So then our sages said that even in Am Haaretz, someone who hasn't learned Torah, and ordinarily you can't trust them, when you enter Shabbos, so then you could trust them. The food they give you is kosher on Shabbos. The rest of the week, they're not always careful to give you the kosher food in the house. On Shabbos, they're a different person. Our sages say the opposite of the letters boshet is Shabbos. Our sages say take the letters boshet and you'll find the letters Shabbat. Because if a person enters Shabbos, so then he can become a different person. What happens? Why is a person embarrassed before Shabbos? Because a person is not at peace with himself. And Shabbat allows a person to find the peace with himself. So that's what the Zohar means when the Zohar says the opposite of the letters boshet, shame, are the letters Shabbat. Because a person on Shabbat can come to peace with themselves. There's more to be discussed. Let's summarize what we saw tonight. We discussed that the Jewish people are compared to the olive because the olive has light hidden within it, and so too every person has light hidden within them. The Medrash says the olive has to be beaten in order to get out the light. Then Tivot Shalom says you don't have to be beaten to get the light out of you. That's what the Talmud says. Shifting within ourselves is worth more than being beaten. And so a person has to shift within themselves, and then they can have that light revealed within them. Then he went on to discuss that light is revealed through the oral Torah, which involves hard work. That light is also revealed through Shabbos. And that's the idea that he said that on Shabbos, our face should radiate a different light. The light of Shabbos radiates through us. He quoted the Zohar that the letters Boshet and Shabbat are interchangeable because the shame that one might sense on a Friday from being at ease with themselves, on Shabbos we can come to peace with ourselves, and that inner tranquility of Shabbos is the light that can be radiated on one's face. That's part of the connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam, that the rest of the week is difficult, because the rest of the week there's more conflict between our physical desires and our spiritual desires. On Shabbos, my sleep is in honor of Shabbos. My eating is in honor of Shabbos. I'm at peace with everything. The world comes to peace. If I can leave my problems of Friday behind, then I can connect to the Shabbos and reveal within myself that hidden light that is reflected by the Jewish people being compared to the olive that has the potential for a light within.